This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we talk about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy, where it's truly a joy to be alive. So inside that skin and bones and bag of chemicals that you call yourself, or maybe you don't call yourself that, but that's kind of what your exterior is, that inside that, as the French would say, that je ne sais quoi, you know, that what makes you uniquely you. The program here is really about how we can enjoy and feel so rich on the inside, whatever we could ascribe to millions and millions of dollars and never having a financial care ever again, but feel that on the inside, whether it's, you know, showing up in our relationships, the appreciation of a good meal, going out into nature, or just being grateful that at this very moment, as you're listening to this program right here, right now, that it is truly a blessing simply to be alive. That's Inside Wealth. With us today, we have a fantastic program, as always. I get to say that in all humility. Marilyn Schlitz, PhD, based up in the Petaluma area, is joining us, and she's the Vice President of Research and Education at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Has wrote a fabulous book, co-authored with Cassandra Wheaton and Tina Amarok, called Living Deeply, The Art and Science of Transformation in Everyday Life. Needless to say, you know, as another Zimmerman once said a generation ago, these times, they are a-changing. So transformation, whether we like it or not, is just part of a given these days. And how can we live a life that's more meaningful and richer for all of us? Stay tuned for Marilyn. We also have our resident Brain Trust member, George McCown. George is such a brilliant guy. If you haven't heard him before, come back to our website at insidewealth.net. And we had a feature interview with him, and he's made many contributions to the Brain Trust segment. He manages billions of dollars at McCown DeLue. It's a private equity firm. He was the chairman, now chairman emeritus of the World Business Academy, and is also now chairman of Outward Bound. He's got great insights. He's on the board of board of supervisors at the Hoover Institution. That's a think tank out of Stanford University, and, you know, kind of conservative thought. But before we get to George, who's a great thinker and a big heart, as well as Marilyn, you get this week's Bowl of Stew. Well, you know, we're staying with this theme here of having this 1 month to live, because if you haven't heard the shows recently, we're T-minus three and counting. Our last show is going to be on June 29th, at least on KNEW, and we will survive on InsideWealth.net. For the foreseeable future, that's insidewealth.net. And as I immerse myself in this 1 month to live and doing it through the radio show, you know, one thing comes to mind. I lose my fear around money. And I know the circumstances right now are very uncomfortable for a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them. And frankly, if we keep our eyes open and take a candid assessment of where we are in the world right now, the odds highly favor them getting worse before they get better. And the truth is, clearly nobody has the crystal ball here to know how bad they could possibly get. We've had other guests on the program before, including George McCown, who has met with people like the Undersecretary of Treasury and other people to get the inside scoop. And it is potentially very scary. I'm not saying this to instill fear, What I am saying is, let's just keep our eyes open. And what I can say as I go through this exercise of 1 month to live, the fear of running out of money, you know, during my lifetime goes away. Where I have a deep sense of knowing that whatever it takes to have the money in to put food on the table, a roof over the head, and clothes on my back will occur. Now, clearly, homeless people can't quite say that. And that's actually part of the transformational shift that is occurring and will occur as we go forward. Because whether it was the Great Depression or other times of significant economic contraction, what winds up happening is people come closer together. They tighten their belts. You know, they go by with a little bit less. They scale back their expectations on the material side of things and come to a place of greater and deeper foundation of what really is important, a new sense of priorities. Or maybe it was the old sense that we just kind of forgot along the way. In terms of no matter what, it really is a blessing to be alive. No matter how difficult or dire the circumstances may look on the outside, there's no need for us to go to a place of fear. Because we can spend our whole lives there. And you know, fear has a way of compounding upon itself. Conversely, so does peace. And so does love. So as I go through the exercise of having 1 month to live, I'm just finding that, you know, whatever money there is in a given moment, so long as there's food on the table, shelter over my head, relationships I care about, a form of physical well-being so I can actually enjoy the moment being in the body, there's a deep wealth there. A deep wealth there. And it makes the money just gravy on top. Joining us in studio today is Marilyn Schlitz, PhD, a scientist, an anthropologist, and she has so much of a deep background in science and observing us humans out here, you know, because believe it or not, it really is in many ways still a mystery. And as much as we may think we have all the answers, do we really? Do we even think that we really do? And anyway, Marilyn has some great evidence and wrote a fantastic book called Living Deeply, The Art and Science of Transformation in Everyday Life. And really, this is very much an Inside Wealth. It is so much about living deeply. That's a fantastic book. She's also the VP of Research and Education over at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is in our own backyard here in Nevada or Petaluma, depending upon which way you're looking at it. And it's a magnificent campus. If you've never been, I highly recommend you go check it out. Anyway, she's got a whole litany of background, but let's get right into it with Marilyn right here. So Marilyn, first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Great. You know, you've accomplished so much. Before we get into the details of living deeply, how do you define success?
Oh, good question. Success is defined in an integral way. I think there's that sense of success that my body is regulating itself in harmony. It's the success that comes when my mind and body are coordinated and in some kind of synchronous complementarity. It's my interpersonal relationships. It's the relationship with my son, with my coworkers, with the environment, and ultimately with that sense of something bigger, that sense of the sacred.
Mm. So it sounds like it's very much a state of being.
It's a state of being. It's a state of doing. I think it's a state of wholeness. So for me, success can be defined as, you know, specific outcomes when I accomplish a goal that I've intended to accomplish. That feels like success. But there's also success in recognizing that a failure is a gift. And so being able to see success as something that is any opportunity to learn and expand ourselves.
Mm. Well, it's very clear that you are extremely successful, mm-hmm. and you continue to, by your own definition especially, which ultimately is all that really counts, right? And I want to take a look at this book of Living Deeply.
Great.
And what that really is, because there's a lot of talk about transformation these days. Obviously, Oprah and Eckhart Tolle have done incredible work together in reaching out to the masses with their brand. I'm not sure if it's a brand of transformation or not, but a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you share in terms of defining transformation for us and what living deeply is?
Mm. Well, change is clearly in the air, and we saw it in the recent success of the Obama campaign to get the Democratic nomination. That's an example of how change is appealing to us. We've always been surrounded and enveloped in change. You know, we grow older, we see ourselves develop in different ways. So it's not like change is new right now. What's new in the air, I think, is an invitation to bring change into our lives, into our relationships, into our society, into our interactions with one another. I think that what is unique about the moment is that there's a dissatisfaction. There's a sense that something's broken. You can feel this everywhere. You can feel it amongst teachers. You know, we're 17th in terms of academic aptitude of the industrialized nations. You can see it in the context of healthcare workers that are struggling to create a healing system under the most adverse circumstances. You see it in the context of workers trying to find a meaningful way of engaging in their livelihood. We're all hungry for change. And so we were interested in not so much those little incremental changes that, you know, are kind of course corrections, but really the kind of fundamental shifts in our consciousness that allow us to begin to experience reality in a different way. So these kinds of transformations in consciousness are something that has been of great interest to us over the 10 years that we've been doing research, and really trying to think about what it is that triggers people to have a fundamental transformation in their perceptions of their self and of their relationships to each other and into the world. So we define these transformations of consciousness as fundamental shifts in our perspective of who we are and what we're capable of becoming.
And so how did this notion of living deeply even come about for you?
Well, I've been interested in transformation and consciousness for a long time, but about 10 years ago, I was at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and well, the Institute, first of all, was founded out of the vision of transformation. Edgar Mitchell, one of the Apollo 14 astronauts, had the opportunity to be the pilot of the little lunar module from the Apollo capsule to the moon and back. And so his part of the mission was complete, and he describes having the window seat on the way home. And it was from this vantage point of deep space, looking out at planet Earth suspended in the vastness of this void. And he had two experiences. One was profound pain. It was a deep suffering that came when he realized the kinds of problems we face as a civilization on planet Earth, the kind of divisions of race or gender or ethnicity or tribalism, whatever they happen to be, are almost entirely constructions of our worldview, and that, in fact, it's our consciousness that has brought about much of the difficulty we face. Mm. And then at the same time as he was experiencing that kind of opening that came through pain was a revelation of unity and that sense of interconnectedness. And so here he was, an MIT-trained engineer who really believed strongly in the Newtonian paradigm of cause and effect, you know, enough that he got into the Apollo 14 capsule, and anybody who saw Apollo 13 knows that had to have been scary. So he came back to planet Earth with the idea that perhaps in the same way we rallied the collective intention to explore outer space, you know, the Apollo program being a model of that, maybe the next big breakthrough will come from that same concerted, focused intention to explore inner space and really understand the nature of how we tick and what motivates us. So I then cut to about 10 years ago, and I was approached by a very successful businessman, a non-New Agey, non-woo-woo kind of guy in any way, shape, or form. And he had had a transformational experience. Didn't require going to the moon. It required stepping out onto a deck at a retreat center, the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, and suddenly seeing the world in a new way. And instead of visioning or experiencing himself as separate from the world, he really began to see the wholeness. And in that moment, primed by a lot of smaller experiences, but in that moment, he had a fundamental shift in his perspective. And so he was interested in knowing, was there something weird about him? And if not, is this something that we could learn more about in order to invite other people to experience these kinds of transformations that ultimately led him to be a happier, healthier, more whole person, to be more successful in the language that you were using before?
And that is, in fact, the purpose of this program. And Marilyn, stay with us for more so we can all get a sense of how to transform our lives to live more deeply, authentically, and more fulfillingly. Be right back. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco.